As we prepare for Mission Sunday, we're going to be hearing the Lord's Prayer from across the world. And I would dare say the Lord's Prayer is the most recited prayer in Christian worship, public Christian worship across the world. But this morning, I want you to see that one of the great purposes of Jesus in giving the Lord's Prayer was it be prayed in private. In fact, today we start a new series called Reset. And what I believe is that Jesus intended this to be the reset button. How many of you need a reset button on your electronics, you know? Sometimes when things freeze up or they're not working right, I don't know a lot, but I can find the button, or either I can just, what do you do? Just unplug it, plug it back in, and declare it fixed, right? Well, Jesus says you need a reset button in your life. I was reading about different reset buttons this week. I love this definition of something that's called a hard reset. Think about how it applies to us spiritually. A hard reset clears settings and data and returns the device to how it was originally made. I love that. And guys, when we talk about a reset today, we're talking about Jesus coming to restore us to how we were originally made. And so how does that happen? Where does that happen? You see it on the screens right here. Write those notes down. In private, personal prayer. Jesus knew we all struggle with prayer. I don't know anybody, including myself, that would say, man, I pray enough. I pray fervent enough. No, we all struggle with that. And so Jesus is going to give us a prayer, an outline prayer. But before we even get to the prayer, Jesus is going to tell us about how we should pray, where we should pray in order to get this reset. So let me ask this morning, you don't have to raise your hand. Are you in need of a reset? Are you in need of a reset in your relationship with God? Are you in need a reset in your marriage? Are you in a reset with just your own soul? Well, I can't tell you how simple this message is going to be. And I also probably couldn't explain to you how profound I believe this message could be in our life that Jesus is going to teach us. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start reading verse 5. And before Jesus gets to what we call the Lord's Prayer, he tells us the setting for that prayer. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So, let's get a reset in prayer just for a little bit. Watch Jesus teaching us. First of all, we need to reset from performance to authenticity, all right? The Pharisees' problem is that they prayed to be seen. Just a few verses before this, Jesus had talked about fasting. And then after that, and he talked about giving to the poor. He said, these guys are so bad. When they give a gift, they want their name on the building. They want the trumpet blown. And when they pray, they're not really talking to God. They're talking to the people around them. In fact, there's a real strong word here. Jesus called them hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite's a very interesting word in Jesus' day. It was what you would call an actor. It wasn't necessarily a slam. But what does an actor do? An actor plays a part that is not truly them. And Jesus says, when you get up and you pray these loud, impressive, eloquent prayers that you want to impress people, you're just acting. It's not really who you are. It's you're acting. And so they're not praying to God. They're praying to an audience. There was a big public prayer held in Boston years ago, and the Boston newspaper reported the next morning. Here's the quotation. Last night, one of the most eloquent prayers ever delivered to a Boston audience was given. Did you catch that? Who was it delivered to? The Boston audience. The prayer was eloquent and beautiful, but it wasn't given to God. We pray to God. Reminds me sort of a weird story, but I'd like to tell it anyway. A few years ago, we had the infamous Les Miles at Gridiron. And if you were there, it was a really interesting night, and he's as crazy as you think he was. And he got up, and he was trying to get fired up. And so he starts with this prayer. He says, "Father, I come to you in my name." He quickly called himself. But these Pharisees are not catching themselves. They're not catching that they're not really talking to God. They're talking to the people around them. And Jesus says that's a danger. Now listen, Jesus is not opposed to public prayer. He leads them through the Gospels. But he is opposed to public prayer for the wrong reasons. Now, this part of the lesson is probably most applicable to somebody like me that's always up praying prayers. Because any of us who do this, we know the temptation in the back of your head is to constantly be thinking, how does this sound? What are people going to think? Read a book years ago on the Sermon on the Mount called The Christ the Mount by an old Methodist missionary to India, E. Stanley Jones. He's an amazing guy, amazing writer. And he talks about the danger of a preacher standing up and preaching and then standing in the back secretly waiting for compliments. And he talks about how it undoes what you're doing. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If you're praying in front of people by what they will think, if you're trying to use words you don't normally use and a voice tone you don't normally employ to sound impressive, then Jesus is not, he's not impressed. Can I ask you? And all of you, this doesn't apply to you. But is there a discrepancy between the way you pray in front of people? I'm not just talking about in this audience. Maybe in your life group, maybe in your home. Is there a discrepancy between the way you pray in front of people and the way you pray privately? You know, growing up, you know, in church, people prayed a little different normally they do now. And there were a lot of these and thous and deep voices and, you know, and I remember as a kid thinking, do we think God's weird? Do we have to employ these languages and these words we would never use in any other setting to try to get his attention? No, well, no. God says, I just want you to talk to me. You don't have to certainly impress them. You don't have to impress me. Get past this performance. I mean, it's like you and your children. You wouldn't want them to have to feel like they had to come to you and use words that they don't normally use or deepen their voice tone, you know, or get in a certain pot. No, you just want your kids to talk to you. That's how God is. So first of all, there's got to be a reset from performance to authenticity, because public prayer means little without private devotion. What we do in secret gives credence to what we do in public. This is very challenging to me. Does my public prayers and do I have the same enthusiasm when it's just me and God? Do I pray with the same passion and fervor? It's a great question. Now, second thing, first of all, Jesus addressed the Pharisees, and then he also addressed the pagans, and he says, you need a reset from ritual to relationship. You see, now, the pagans thought, I love this, they would be heard by their many words. So here's what they believe. The higher the word count, the more attention God gives you. Anybody ever been in church and thought someone believed that? I mean, it's just like, man, how long are you going to go? Now, Jesus is not opposed to long prayers, if that's what you need to do. But he's opposed to thinking the longer the prayer, the more powerful it is. He's opposed to some kind of ritual where you think, if I fulfill this ritual, it's more than likely going to be a yes. And he says, these people have such a problem. They just keep on babbling. When are they going to come to the end? Like I said, this is a real danger for all of us. And the danger is when we believe there's a technique or a formula or a certain order of words that can guarantee success of our prayers. See, I talk to people all the time. I try to pray with people, and I'm really struck by how uncomfortable most of us feel praying. And I think this is part of the problem. We think it's got to sound a certain way. It's got to be eloquent. It's got to, that's the opposite of what Jesus is saying. He said, just talk to me. Just talk to me. I want to hear from you. But there's this danger that I believe in. Guys, I believe in different postures of prayer. I think those are very helpful, but they're not a gateway. Not if I'm on my knees, this can be more powerful. This can do more for me, maybe. Or if I say a certain words in certain order, you know, you hear some religious people pray and they think if I say these exact words, the greatest danger I've seen is people who believe if I pray with enough faith, God's got to say yes. Okay? You say, well, why is that dangerous? Because that puts the onus on you. I love the old saying, if you're going to cross a bridge, you know, a strong faith over a weak bridge will get you wet. A weak faith over a strong bridge will keep you dry every time. See, guys, the question is not your amount of faith. The question is, who do you put your faith in? That's the power. I've had a really close friend. I think he's come to a different position since then, but he literally believed if you were praying for a sick person, it was always God's will for them to be healed. And so, you know, if you met in a room with someone that was sick and you prayed over them and they didn't get well, then what do you think? Somebody in the room didn't have enough faith. He would never think, well, God just chose not to heal this person because that was not his theology. He believed it was always God's will to heal someone. And so I remember us going through this over and over again is, okay, well, man, we prayed for this brother. I think of a prominent brother in this church. We prayed over and he didn't get healed. And my brother, and I love him to death, still friends with him, began to question everybody in the room and think, did they really have the right amount of faith? Because that's what Jesus is warning about. There's no formula. There's no technique. It's about a relationship. Listen, guys, listen closely. Jesus himself heard no to his prayers. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? I mean, Jesus did what y'all do. He asked. He asked for another way. And his father said no. You think Jesus had enough faith? The Apostle Paul, one of the great men, I mean, he says, I prayed over and over again that this thorn in my flesh would be removed. And God said, no, no, no. Listen, don't let someone guilt trip you into thinking that the reason your prayer is not being answered is because you don't have enough faith. What God wants, because this is where we've got to change our understanding of prayer. Prayer is not so much just getting something done that I won't get done as it is building a relationship with God. Listen to some of these passages. Jeremiah 29. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me and I'll listen to you and you will seek me and find me. He didn't say anything about your prayers being answered. Yes. He said everything about you finding God. Now listen to James chapter 4. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Psalms 145. The Lord is near to those who call upon him. My friends, if the only reason you're praying is to change something, that's all right, but that's not enough. The biggest reason you and I should pray is because we want to be close to God. We need that relationship. I know in my life that a big turning point in my life was the moment I was in college and just sort of confused about life and confused about myself and just really not so sure about a lot of things. And, you know, I'd grown up in a religious home and great things and loved it and loved the Lord. I already knew at that point I probably wanted to be a minister, but this is a really low point. And I remember going back to the house that me and some friends were renting and I had my little room upstairs and I just was distraught. And I sat on my little single bed. And right beside it was a desk. And I went over to that desk and there was a chair and I just turned the chair around toward my bed. I sat on the bed I decided that I was going to pray as if God were sitting in that chair. And what would I tell him? What would I talk to him about? Now, that may sound so silly and so small, but that changed my life. I cried, I complained, I talked, I asked, I pleaded. And guys, that's what God's looking for with us. Not looking for some performance, not asking you to have a certain ritual so everything happens. He really wants you. But then the next part of this lesson is we have to reset our prayers from distraction to the closet. Now, this is the most specific command in here. Go to your closet, shut your door. And this is the number one danger, I think, for most of us, is our prayers. Most of you probably aren't tempted like someone public about performance, or most of you may aren't tempted that a certain formula will get something done. But all of us are tempted to not pray because of the danger of distractions. I think about in Jesus' day where you didn't have electricity and you didn't have a lot of things. How many distractions could they have had? Certainly compared to the distractions we have. Now we have all these external distractions, our busyness, our technology, noise, fatigue. We have internal distractions, worry and anxiety and mind racing and wandering thoughts and guilt. You know, Jesus said this about the disciples when they wouldn't stay awake and pray with him in Gethsemane. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all would say that. And so I think, guys, for you and I, this is so important that we get this here. We got to eliminate distractions. And that's going to take some kind of closet. Because in our culture, you cannot get away from it unless you purposely get away from it. I mean, this week, I was in a moment where I thought, I really need to go spend some time with the Lord. I need to go talk to him very openly, privately. And so I was here at the office, and I was thinking, where's a place in this building I can go and nobody's going to be there? And I quickly thought, the library. Nobody even knows we have a library, okay? We do have a great library over in the Life Center. And so I thought, I'm going to go to the library. Let me just confess. I debated in my office whether I was going to take my phone with me or not. Thank God I decided to leave my phone. But I'm telling you, that's not always natural. How crazy is that? Think about something we didn't even know existed 40 years ago. And now it's an appendage. But yet if I'd taken my phone over there, man, I couldn't have spent 15 minutes of uninterrupted time with God. You know, I don't want to miss out on something. I don't want to miss that text, that phone call. But that's exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. Go into your closet. Don't just go into the closet. Shut the door. Because here's our deal. Endless distractions are keeping us from really meeting God. And then one more thing here to reset your prayers. Reset from my will to his will. Not only do I need to move from performance to authenticity and get out of ritual to relationships and escape distractions and go into my closet. After I've done all those things, then I get to the Lord's Prayer. And Lord, you guys, what the Lord's Prayer does is the Lord's Prayer gives me my reset button, okay? Everything we've talked about so far is setting up to where the button is found in private personal prayer. That's where the button's found. How do you push the button? By praying the Lord's Prayer. Guys, prayer is not so much, and I think we repeat this over and over again because we need it. Prayer is not so much me getting God to do my will as it is God getting me to do his will. That doesn't mean you don't ask God for things. I'm the ultimate example we referred to just a moment ago. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's nothing wrong with Jesus coming to his Father and saying, Lord, I'm facing this thing head on now. If we could find another way... God's not mad at him for that. And God's not mad at you to go to him and ask him for whatever you think you need. But in the long run, as you pray, you do what Jesus did. Jesus finally prays, Lord, I wish you'd change it. But nevertheless, here's where I want to go. Here's where we need to go. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's the purpose. And so over the next weeks, guys, we're going to look at these phrases that are going to align our life and reset our life. Let me just go through those phrases real quickly. I think you can see why they could be such a great reset. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Wow, we talk about a reset, a refocus. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, I'm lining my will up with his will. I want your will done more than mine. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Forgive us this day of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Excuse me, first of all, it said, give us this day our daily bread. You can't ask for things. Let's talk about forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation. Father, keep me on the right path. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. I mean, it's an incredible prayer. It wasn't meant just for me. It certainly is beautiful for us to recite it in here, but that was not its primary purpose. Its primary purpose for us to get in our closet and for us to pray it and for it to give us that reset, to align my heart with God's will. So let's talk about this just for a moment. How do we hit the reset button? We get in this place. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're just trying to be with God, not even trying to impress him. Nobody around, no television zone, no phones, no. I mean, I know for many of you, you're going to have to find out how to get away from your children at times. I mean, it's a challenge. But go back to this definition I love up here. What's the reset about? It returns the device to how it was first made. And that's the beauty of prayer, okay? So let's get real practical here before we close out. How do we hit the reset button? My first question for you is this. What is your closet? Okay. If you don't have something in mind, I'll really challenge you this week. Where is a place that you know you can sit undistracted and still? Maybe a beautiful place. Maybe there's a great picture out your window. Maybe it's warm enough. It's somewhere outside. Maybe it's a certain chair. Maybe it's a certain room you don't go to any other time of the day. Maybe it literally, I know people, literally is a closet. But you find that. And let me challenge you while we're here. Where's your place can be and where's your time? Okay? So what's a good time every day? And again, I'm not talking about you necessarily got to go use a lot of words. If you start with 5 or 10 minutes, amen. Just start. Where's that place? Where's that time? Second question, what door must you shut? Okay. All of us have distractions. I've confessed mine is my phone. And for many of us, that's a silly, gutsy move. But what is it that's going to distract you that you've got to make sure the door is shut and locked? Okay. Is it social media? Is it TV? Is it, you name it. And then, challenge you to pray the Lord's Prayer. Or if not always the Lord's Prayer, at least Scripture. Pray things you know to be the will of God, okay? One of my favorite passages is Ezekiel chapter 37. God makes all these crazy, wonderful promises to his people. I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to bless you this way, and you're going to be blessed out of your mind. And then the last verse in the chapter, God says, and I'm going to let you ask me for these things. Find something you know absolutely is the will of God. This is not a prayer that you pray, Lord, well, if this is your will, I hope it is, possibly, maybe. Oh, certainly. No. Lord, you said it. It's your will. Lord's Prayer is a safe place to start. Pray that prayer. Use the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't meant to be a poem. It was meant to be an outline of the way you pray. And then I got to ask you this question. How uncomfortable are you willing to be? I think that's the challenge for many of us. Now, for some of you, when I tell you to go off by yourself for 15 minutes, you laugh. You say, that's not near long enough. I could use 3 hours. That's my love language. I like being by myself. So you guys probably don't need this as much as the rest of us. For many of us, to sit in a room completely quiet with our Bible and God is uncomfortable. Just be honest. Sometimes I don't know what to do. So I don't know what to say. And what I'm challenging you and challenging me to do is to be willing to be uncomfortable. It may feel really odd at first. And the prayer I always love to pray when I do this is, Lord, would you meet me here? Just meet me here. And another prayer I love to pray is the prayer of Moses and the prayer of Jacob. Jacob prays, Lord, I'm not letting go of you till you bless me. And Moses says, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until you're with me. And so what you might need to pray is, Lord, I'm here and I'm uncomfortable. And this is really weird because I'm used to noise and activity all the time. But Lord, I'm telling you, I'm sitting here until you meet me. Okay, please meet me here. So be willing to be uncomfortable, guys. If we know this makes us uncomfortable, it's really a big sign. I know in my life, anytime I'm uncomfortable being by myself, normally I know I'm not spiritually where I need to be. And so take that time. Again, we're talking about something just simple. I love this book called Prayer for Beginners. It says the simple, most important advice about prayer is one word, begin. Just start. So here we are in our new year. I see two buttons you could push right now. Might be that Staples easy button. Or you might get hit the reset button. You say, what are you talking about? Okay, we're in a new year, new opportunity. The easy way out is just to keep doing the same things I've been doing. Okay? And maybe you're in an incredibly deep place for God and you don't even need this lesson. Praise God. But for so many of us, it's like, okay, I know things aren't quite right. I'm not quite where, but let me just push. Let me just distract myself with another Netflix show. Let me get on TikTok and just look. That's the easy button. The easy button is to allow the distractions to take over your life and not really reset. So I would challenge you today to hit the reset button. Now here's the good news as we close. Here's the reward. When you go in this kind of prayer, this kind of silence and solitude, you receive God's undivided attention. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Listen, who is unseen, then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. When you go into your closet and you shut the door, what are you going to find on the other side of that door? You're going to find your Father's undivided attention for you. You're going to find that your Heavenly Father wants more than anything else to hear from you. So guys, here's, I think this will help us a lot. If you think the purpose of prayer is always to get things done or to change the mind of God, which scripture says it can at times, then you may be disappointed in your prayer life. Because I know many of you in here, even recently, you've received some pretty tough no's. But if you understand that the number one purpose of God is to grow close to God, that can always happen. I like the John Mark Comer quote we used a few years ago. I look at him, he looks at me, we're happy. You see, we know with children growing up, their security has a lot to do with how their parents look at them. If they have a mom and a dad that looks at them and adores them, then more than likely they're going to grow up secure. But if they don't have that, or they have a mom or dad who walks away from them or scowls at them, who looks at them with disdain, then that's going to affect them. That's not to say every moment you're looking, but it's to say, what is your general look at your children? Because that says so much about how they're going to grow up. They grow up with the security of knowing that you love them. Remember we did our joy series? We found out that, joy comes from seeing somebody you care about and how they look at you. That's where security comes from. We walk in these doors today, we can help each other a lot in this crazy world. We'll just look at each other with a lot of love and a lot of joy. Now guys, here's the really good news. When you get behind that door and you shut that door and you see God, what he promises is his shining face upon you. He's going to look at you with absolute love. And that can change everything about your life. That can literally give you a reset. So our challenge this week is to find that place, listen to what Jesus said, and go spend time with God. And I love this because a lot of devices, the reset button sort of hidden so you don't miss. I'm telling you guys, this one's right there, right there. Jesus spent a whole section here saying, here's where you hit the reset button, and here's the exact words you can say. Do it. So we're about to sing. If today you need a reset in your life, you know, one of the cool things about all these baptisms we've been announcing, there's no greater reset than baptism. The Bible says you become a whole new person. Everything else is gone, man. It's been cleaned. God's going to restore you to how he originally made you. And so today, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus and be born again, or today you need the prayers of church because you need a reset and you need some people to help you with it, why don't you come right now while we stand and sing?